Are you a financial advisor considering the independent RIA model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. They've helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
The information discussed on this show is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general informational purposes only.
It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guy's Guy Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guy's Guy Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk all about DNA activations as well as trans-dimensional lightship technology from the Arcturians with special guest Jerome Martin III. Yes, I said trans-dimensional lightship technology from the Arcturians and also DNA activation. I'm hoping to do a two-part interview with Jerome Martin. He's a regular guy, was working an outdoor job, and he claims that he was taken up consciously into a starship and he met with a series of ETs, Arcturians, Palladians, Sirians, Lyrians, and Andromedans, and he works with them on a regular basis, and they have taught him a lot. He's sharing a lot with us today on the show. I also want to let you know that Jerome, on his own, offered to work with myself and my wife with a DNA activation. That took place about a month ago. I've had wonderful results, as my wife has. We also did kind of a part two a week later with lightship technology and kind of going up consciously into a starship, a lightship, if you will. Sounds crazy. But bear with me. We're going to have two very interesting conversations with Jerome. The first one today is going to be more focused on Jerome's story, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions. And I'm going to make sure I ask all the questions for context and level setting with Jerome so we really know what he's all about and what his story is all about. And then we're going to get into DNA activation. What is it? How you can benefit from it? How you do it? And if there's any kind of downsides to it. So it's all information for you just to consider. Then you determine on your own, like we always do on Guys Guys Radio, hey, is this something for me? Is this something I want to learn more about? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about DNA activation with our special guest, Jerome Martin III, right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys, Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to bring on a new guest. His name is Jerome Martin III. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a metaphysical practitioner. He's got a unique background in metaphysics and extraterrestrial contact, but he's a regular guy. His journey began when he had a series of close encounters with beings from different star systems including the Arcturians, Palladians, Sirians, Lyrans, and also the Andromedans. And we're going to find out exactly how he knew which one was from which. But basically, he's a regular guy. He was out working, and he started having these experiences. Now, he created a company called and a movement called Project Starborn. And their mission is to empower individuals to explore, understand, and awaken their multidimensional nature. They have all types of supplements. They have courses in Stargate DNA activation, CE5 direct contact, which is with ETs, galactic healing tech, starseed training, starseed boot camps, and a lot of online courses. One of them is called Blueprinters. We're going to get into all of that, and we'll probably have two shows with Jerome, because he's got such a fantastic story and he's got so much to share with us. So let me welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Jerome Martin III.
How you doing, Robert? It's nice to be here.
Doing fantastic. So I guess that piqued a curiosity in a lot of our audience, like, what is all of this? So let's start from the beginning. Tell everybody kind of who you are and your personal story as to how you got involved in all of this energy work and also working with ETs.
Okay, so I'm going to start at the beginning of my experiences. Back in 2017, I was already sort of starting to explore the realm of energy medicine. I was getting into Reiki. I got into this path through martial arts. I've been a martial artist my whole life, and I was getting to the point where I'm starting to explore the energy work. And from there, after my Reiki attunement, I started having some interesting experiences. It went from tapping into the energy to full-blown ET abduction. I was a construction worker, and I was working in landfills at the time. They don't put landfills in the middle of cities. They're out in the middle of nowhere. So I was sort of, by myself. And I started having what I thought was strange dreams. And in these dreams, these blue beings, I didn't know them to be ETs at first. They were just like blue silhouettes of light. They would surround me, and they would sort of just make a circle around me, and then they would put their hands on me, and I would hear like this, like, wub, 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 wub. And then I would be, going up this tunnel of light up to what I thought was a floating city. And in this floating city, they started teaching me different things. I didn't realize they were training me in metaphysical science at the time. I thought they were just making me do these strange obstacle courses. It was like the show American Ninja Warrior Challenge, where you'd have to move yourself across some sort of extreme obstacle course. And for me, it was this large open sort of like a chasm, where it was like there was like sort of levels or stages, and there was big gaps between. And these beings, first, they showed me how to like float myself up, and then I had to move myself across these platforms. And this happened for, about a month or so. And then after I was able to lift myself and move myself across the platforms, then they would have me move objects. There was these glowing cubes that they would manifest. They'd materialize these cubes. And then I had to connect the cube, lift the cube up, and move the cube across the platform. And then, sometime later, then I had to lift myself and the cube up and move them across this platform. And I was thinking, like, what an interesting game. Or I thought this was like, just some strange.
Let me interrupt you there for a second. So for when you say was this a dream state, were you sleeping or were you just working and these things happened?
So it seemed like a dream, right? Because I didn't understand what was happening. I was at work, so I was at work and I thought I was dreaming because it was something that seemed like a dream because it didn't seem like my normal life. I mean, so it would start off as I would be in my truck. Right. I was sitting in my truck. These beings would appear. So I'm sitting there and I would just see them appear around the truck. Then they would touch me and I would go up into this place. I thought it was a dream because it's outside of my normal waking state of reality. I mean, there's no other time when beings are bringing me up into a floating city. So I thought possibly it was a dream. And so this was happening for, several months. And then it started happening in a meditative state. So
did your co-workers, were they there? Were they around you? Or were you working kind of on your own when these things happened? And did you mention it to them?
So yeah, I didn't mention it to anybody. And also my coworkers, I was the boss. So I would be in my superintendent's truck. Okay. And my coworkers or my employees at the time Well, I didn't employ them, but they were, employees of the company. They would be in heavy equipment, so I would be up on
Got
top of this area, and I'd
it. Okay.
be watching them. And this would typically happen, on my lunch break. I would be in my truck relaxing. I would eat my food, and then I would just, take a little snooze. And it was starting like that. It would be in the state when I'm relaxing. Just I'd have my eyes closed, and then I'd from what I would think was my experiences, I'd open my eyes and I would see these beings. But I sort of thought maybe that I was having a dream, right? I thought this is a dream that was happening, because when do glowing blue beings, come and grab you out of your truck? And so this happened for, it was reoccurring. This happened, several times, probably 10 times over the course of a few months. And then so it was happening like that, where it wasn't controlled. And this is why I thought it was a dream, because it was happening to me, where I was just witnessing it. I wasn't necessarily participating, or I wasn't invoking this. Like I wasn't like actively seeking this. It was just happening. Then it transitioned to later, I would just be meditating. I'd be, going into meditation, and then boom, I'd be up into this space. And then later, so it started off as these blue glowing beings in what I thought was a floating city. Then after, months later, when it started happening during meditation, when I would be brought into this space, they were no longer blue silhouettes of light. They were extraterrestrials. They were these tall blue beings, and I was obviously this time inside of a craft. It was a light ship. And so it went from not understanding or knowing what it was into something completely different. And I thought at the time that I believed that I was being groomed, because they did it in a way that wasn't scary. I wasn't afraid, because they were just blue silhouettes of light in some floating city. It wasn't a scary experience. And then later, when I realized that they were extraterrestrials, I was already not afraid. So I feel like they did it in a way that was sort of I would be okay with, or it wouldn't be
Okay.
frightening.
So when you first, I mean, I guess the obvious question is, how did you feel about them? Were you afraid? And how did they communicate with you? And how did they tell you where they were from? And what, did you want to go back and see them again? And how did they make you feel? Tell us all about kind of that, the real human stuff that happened, because you're a regular guy and you were working, and next thing you know, you're on an ET ship. It must have been a freak out.
Yeah, so when this was happening, there was no fear. It was sort of startling when it first happened, because I just didn't. It was new, so it was a new experience. There wasn't any fear or anxiety. It was sort of like excitement, because it was just like sort of a shocking experience at first. And then when you go up into these spaces, they communicate telepathically. So they don't communicate like you or I do with words. They communicate with images or pictures. And what's interesting is the pictures, when they show them to you, it's not just like a picture that you have to decipher. It's like an image or a movie, but then there's a sense of knowing. Somehow you just know what it means. And so, they say a picture is 1,000 words, a movie is a million. So they're showing you these like clips or images. And sometimes it's geometries or other little symbols, but for somehow, some way, I had cognitive understanding of what they were when they showed me those things.
So, Jerome, and again, Jerome Martin III is my special guest on Guys Guys Radio. His mission is to really help people explore, understand, and awaken their multidimensional nature. And just as an amazing story, he shares his knowledge and experiences with so many other people, and he helps people with his program. So I'm so delighted you're on the show today, Jerome. So when you were up there, how did you know how to communicate with them telepathically? And how did they tell you? Did you ask them questions? Did you say, why am I here? Where am I? Who are you? What's going on?
Yeah, so when I was up there, they would communicate through this conveyed telepathy. And so it was like they would send me images, and I would just think back. So like I didn't know, or it wasn't something that they had to teach me how to communicate. It was just happening. Like they would communicate to me, and then I would just think back. Like it was so natural. It wasn't like a process I had to learn. It was just something that happened. And so it just seemed strange, but this is just how it happened. And when I was there, yeah, I asked them questions like, why me? Like I'm just a regular person. I didn't understand why I'm up on a ship with extraterrestrials. And they told me at first, they said, you're one of us. And I'm like, that didn't make any sense to me. And I said, well, why are you why humans, like, you know, why me, but also, you know, why are you connecting with humans? And they told me, we are who you will become. And so I didn't understand that for a while, but what they were trying to explain to me was that in the future, that humanity is going to evolve and become more like these beings, and that they are here to prepare us for that, that we are, you know, more or less their genetic, you know, cousins or family in a way. I didn't realize, and it took me some time even after that. You know, they were training me for, you know, years until I realized what was actually happening or why. Because they said those things, but it didn't make sense. It wasn't until later, when I had the ability to start bringing other people up into these ships, where I was facilitating these experiences for others. There was a few times when, you know, friends or clients, when we go up into the ship, they would tell me that I look like them. When I say I look like them, they would see me, and they would see me as one of these beings. So, you know, up in these spaces, that I would tend to look like these extraterrestrial beings. I was receiving
Okay.
reports like that.
So when what did they look like? You mentioned you know, in your notes you've met with Arcturians, Palladians, Sirians, Lyrans, and Andromedans. The first group you met with, and was there a key, was there kind of a point person to communicate with you that continued to come back? And what did they look like, and did they have a name?
So the beings that first came to me, they told me that they were known as the Arcturians. And so these beings, there wasn't a key or a point person or someone that you would call by a name. They were a group or a collective. So there was always five, sometimes seven, sometimes 12 of them at a time, and they all looked the same. These beings, I could tell that they were slightly different, but they were all wearing the same thing. They would either have suits on or like a robe with like sort of like a high collar. But they all had, you know, these large blue heads, and they would be glowing. So they had like a glow to them and like a shimmer, to where they seemed like they were physical, but they also seemed energetic. And I don't want to say see-through, but there was definitely like light emanating from them.
Was there a male, a female, and did you feel love from them, or did you feel anything, empathy or anything coming from them?
Yes. So even though they appeared the same, some of them had the feel of a male, some of them had a feel of a female, and then some of them felt androgynous, where they didn't have, you couldn't tell what they were, or it was like a combination of both. But they looked the same. There wasn't like, you know, features that you would tell them apart. You could just tell by how they felt. It's just like, you know, when you're around a woman or another man, you can just, it's an energetic thing. You could just tell there was a feminine energy or a masculine energy, or sometimes an androgynous energy.
Okay, so how long ago has this been since you were first contacted, Jerome?
So this started happening in 2017.
Okay, so that's about 8 years now. And what has happened to you over that time frame? And how did the other star people kind of get involved with you? You mentioned again, Palladians, Sirians, Lyrans, and Andromedans. How did this process go, the
Yeah,
journey?
so it started off by them bringing me into these ships, and then the first thing that they showed me was this material that I turned into a company. This material is called Ormus. It is a mineral supplement that is pro that's programmed with high frequency energy, and this starts preparing your light body. It starts developing your DNA and your nervous system to be able to take on higher frequency of light energy. And so it's like preparing your body. And I like they showed me a bunch of times, and you know, I believe this even now, is that we are quantum supercomputers. And so in order for you to handle these higher programs, or this higher, you know, it's almost like a higher software, you have to prepare the hardware. So they were making my DNA and my nervous system stronger to be able to handle the light that goes through your body. They're showing me that everything is just biophotons, the energy that animates us, and the information, the way they communicate through the cellular telepathy. It's conveyed telepathy, and it's cellular telepathy, and this happens through projecting images through biophotons. And so in order to be able to get good at that, you have to increase the capacity of your nervous system, almost like fiber optics, to send and receive this information. So there was a quite a bit of time that it took for the upgrade in the body to happen. So they started introducing this material. This happened for, you know, a couple of years. And then after my nervous system could handle more, they would give me more. And so it was with the Arcturians for the first several years. Then after, you know, years of training and development with them, they started introducing other species. The light ships, they're Arcturian in nature, the ones that I first started going on, but they're also a place where other dimensional beings will come and occupy. So then after a while, then I was introduced to other beings aboard the ship.
Okay. Tell us about the ship. Cause I think everybody out there is very curious about, okay, what was the ship like? Cause we've heard from other folks who have claimed that they have been taken different types of descriptions. What was your take on what was the ship?
So the ships are interesting. They are more or less like a liquid crystal. They're a crystalline structure, but they're an emanation of light. So when you're in this space, you know, it feels very solid, but it also feels malleable, like it could be made of light or energy, and it can expand or contract. So it's really interesting because it changes. There's times when you go up in the ship and it can be different every single time. It's more or less the same, but it's like different areas of it will expand or contract. And, you know, sometimes when you go on, there's more rooms or less rooms, depending on what's going on. And so it seems very much alive and that it can shift or move. And, you know, from what they've explained to me and from what I've experienced, it is alive. So the ship itself, the same way that you communicate with these beings, you communicate with the ship. The ship has its own sentient, you know, energy and intelligence. And you, as you communicate with it, it's like you can operate the ship through this telepathic communication.
So knowing that time is, we experience it as linear, but it's not. So these folks said that, you know, we're what you're going to be. Did they tell you how much far they're out they are in the future than you are and we are?
Yeah, so they are so far in the future that it wouldn't, you know, millions, billions of years. I mean, basically they were explaining that more or less we evolve into them over, I don't even know how long, but basically they were explaining to me that the reason why, you know, and the word, I know this sounds weird, but when we say that they chose me or I was a chosen one, I'm just one, like I chose to participate in this project, but, you know, that we as humans are part of this larger, it's almost like an experiment. But they were showing me that, genetically that humans have some of their DNA. So they connect to us through the DNA, almost like as a transmitter and receiver. And so through the DNA, we are compatible, to communicate with them.
So Jerome, for right now, why are they interested in Earth? If they're like, you know, 100,000 years in the future or whatever, what's their interest in Earth right now? Besides that there's a connection in DNA, what about right now? What did they tell you is going on, if anything, on Earth right now? And why is it important to get more folks like you kind of being communicated with and spreading the word?
I mean, really, it's about genetic potential and human evolution. We're at the point right now where, you know, in our DNA, we are waking up and we're evolving, and humans are coming online in a way where we have all of these abilities within us, and it has to do with consciousness, and it has to do with ascension. And right now there is this thing happening where there is a shift in consciousness happening where some of the humans are waking up and some of them are like almost going to sleep, where they're just sort of going with the program. And there is a almost like a division happening, and they are here to make sure that as many of us that they can will make it into this shift in ascension.
So a lot of people talk about, oh, you know, there's a split going on with 5D, and some people want to stay in the 3D, and the world might kind of break apart in terms of what we experience. Did they get into some of the specifics of that? Because this sounds like you're kind of alluding to the fact that that may be happening. And I don't know if you've experienced this. I'm sure you probably have, but I have, in terms of like the more and more I learn, the more and more I find that I'm meeting new people of like mind, and then my old friends who are my old friends, and I still love them for our time together and who they are, but finding that, well, they seem comfortable, some of them very comfortable in the way things were, and they just want things to stay that way. And to me, it seems like it's not going to stay. And we have kind of a choice consciously as to which way we want to go.
We do, but they also, you know, they make it very clear to me that as I communicate this message, that it's not meant to be some sort of like fear mongering thing where it's like, oh, you got to get on our page or else you're not going to make it XYZ. This is very much a conscious choice of the humans and their soul evolution. And the ones that are meant to go in this path of this trajectory will resonate and will move forward. And then some will not, but it's not meant to be like a type of thing where it's like, you know, you've got a choice. And if you make the wrong one, you're going to be, you know, in trouble type of thing. They make sure to point that out, that this is very much a choice and that there are humans that are choosing one way or another. And this is just part of their evolution.
Did they mention anything? And then I want to get into what part Project Starborn and the DNA activation. But last question, did they mention kind of what's going on Earth and some of the, you know, the challenges that we have and some of the negative outcomes that could occur? What people talk about so many different things, from climate change, is it real, is it man-made or not, to some of the things that happened around 2020. And then you have, could there be some type of latent alien attack waiting to happen, and all kinds of stuff that you hear in all the scuttlebutt out there. Did they mention anything that's happening right now, or are they more focused on, you know, your consciousness will determine what timeline you are on?
Yeah, so they mostly focus on the ascension of the consciousness and the development of the human abilities and the development of the human DNA. I mean, really what they're focused on is the genetic potential, activating the DNA, because the more of the DNA strands that activate, the higher the capacity. And they're here really for evolution, and they're here for that. They have explained that a lot of the things that are happening on the Earth right now are just catalysts for change. You know, when it comes to human potential, typically it takes, you know, negative experiences for us to learn from and evolve. And so when certain things are viewed as a negative experience or things are getting bad, typically things will get bad before they get worse or before they get better. And so it's like there, certain things come in for people to sort of take a look at things and be like, hey, I don't like what's going on. And it makes people want to step up and make change. And so if everyone was comfortable and everything was happy, there would be no evolution. Everyone would just be, you know, okay with where they're at.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So Jerome, you, I want you to lead us to what's the differences in kind of, you know, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Sirians, the Lyrians, and Andromedans. I recently had our friend Debbie Solaris on here, so I don't want you to go too deep into that, but, and then how you develop Project Starborn and kind of the main offerings there. I know we talked about, and you took me through the DNA activation. We're going to get into that today, and also visit to a starship, which we're going to save that one, but talk to us a little bit more about those other star races, and then how you develop Project Starborn, and what the DNA activation is all about and why it's important.
Okay, so when it comes to the different ET races, it's all about location and star origin. And so if we trace back, all of, you know, sentient hominid life came from the cradle of Lyra. So the Lyrans are the original blueprint creation, and there's a certain beings there called the Elohai Elohim, and these were the creator gods. And then the first, you know, beings were these feline hominids that people know as the Lyrans. And so these beings, they come from a certain stargate. And so there is a spiral of this starlight that comes down from Lyra, and it spirals down through 12 stargates, and, you know, it ends up here on Earth. Earth is the first, second, third stargates. And there's so much more to talk about with that. But it's too vast to unpack all that now. But basically, what happens is when you take a Lyran and you bring it to the Andromedan system, it evolves into an Andromedan.
You bring it
to the Pleiades, it becomes a Pleiadian. You bring it. So all the beings, they come from the same. What happens is the starlight changes them. And we experience this here on Earth as humans. You know, if you're born in this month, you know, the Earth is rotating, right? And so people that are, I'm a Virgo, and it's because these stars, the starlight was on me, and that gives you certain archetypes and changes your personality. When it rotates more, different starlight programs you, so on and so forth. And so these beings are changed and adapted and programmed by the energies of the star system that they're from.
Amazing. So with all of this knowledge you have, and obviously you've done your homework, and obviously you're not just kind of making this up, this is your experience. Has any of the alphabet agencies or the people who, like, you know, obviously here on planet Earth, the disclosure is a drip, drip, drip process, and it is a process. You've kind of been through a lot. Anybody been in touch with you to say, hey, man?
No, so I haven't been approached by any of the alphabet agencies. I have been on a show, UFO Witness, where someone, I was ex FBI Homeland Security. He had me hooked up to EEG brainwave monitoring technology because he wanted to see what my brainwaves were doing while I was communicating with these Arcturians. Because as an interrogator, he was like, my job is to see if people are lying or not. So he's like, I'm going to take a baseline. He's like, I'm going to hook you up to the computers. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to see what your brain does while you think of answers to questions. Then we're going to go up into your ship and we're going to ask these beings some questions and we're going to see what happens. And if it's the same as when you're answering questions, that means that you're making it up. If there's some sort of variance or some change that there's something happening. And so, of course, when I was communicating with the beings, there was a variance when he first tested and was asking the questions. My brainwaves were in alpha and beta, which are the brainwaves when we're having a concentrated conversation. Then when you go up into the light ship, the readings came out where the whole time I was in theta, which is like, alpha and beta is 80, 90 hertz, and then theta is way down here in 30 hertz. The whole time that I was up in the ship communicating with the ETs, my brainwaves were in the theta range, which is the same as like a dream state. And so really, what it comes down to is being able to shift your brainwaves into a compatible range. It's like tuning into a radio station for you to receive, the
Frequency, right?
transmissions. And
Got it.
so, that was proved there. But when it comes to the general, I haven't been approached by I haven't been approached directly by anyone saying, don't do this or anything like
All right,
that.
cool. Just amazing. So you created Project Starborn, and as I mentioned, DNA activation and then the Starship. But let's talk about the DNA activation. I went through it with you. I had a terrific experience. I felt better and better. As we talked a little bit before the show, I find that wherever my mood goes, if I'm in a good mood and things are good things are happening. It's like things are happening faster, so I actually have to be careful with my thoughts. But I think for the benefit for of our audience, let's start with what is the DNA activation? Talk a little bit about the process itself and what are the benefits?
So DNA activation, it stimulates your conscious ascension path. And so when I say that, like, what does that mean? So, okay. So science, when they look at DNA, science says that 97% of the DNA is junk. Really, it's all just off. Humanity right now is operating around two and a half, sometimes three DNA strands out of 12. And so the majority of the DNA is dormant. It's been off. And so it's actually been shut off. Some may say by the powers that be, but really it's through epigenetics. Epigenetics is the study of that our DNA is and our consciousness is affected by our surroundings and our environment. And that can be environment, and that can be programming, that can be the environment as in the food you eat, what you breathe in, what's in the water, all of those things affect us. And so when the DNA turns on, it's also turning on based on your environment and your surroundings. And so for me, my DNA was turned on by different beings that turn these strands on for me. And then now I have the ability to do this for others. And so coming in contact with me as your environment is how this DNA will turn on. And so there is a whole process of how this works, but basically, you can think of your DNA strands as little satellite antennas and receivers. The DNA is receivers of consciousness and transmitters. And so they've been shut off. And so when we turn them back on, then they start receiving information. And what's so awesome about this is when they turn back on, all of your higher level psychic abilities are dormant in the DNA. So when you start turning the DNA on, different things happen. Your Merkaba, which is your light body, turns on, and then you have access to these higher dimensional realms. Your clairsenses turn on, your ability to see, feel, hear, know, sense in these higher dimensional places start to turn on. And so we start having perception of what's happening in these other places. And so, one of the most important things about the DNA turning on is getting access to your multidimensional nature. Most people are only seeing out of their eyes, right? They're only seeing what's here. Sometimes they experience multidimensionality when they're in their dream state, but they don't understand it. It's like you're having a dream and you go somewhere else. But really, what's happening is your consciousness is shifting between vectors. Right now, when you're seeing out of your eyes, we're using single vector consciousness. This is where we see, what's in front of us. But multidimensionality is being able to shift your conscious awareness into other vectors and other dimensions. And this is where we can come in contact with these beings and these light ships, or all sorts of different things. Anytime someone is experiencing, angels or ascended masters, sometimes it's deceased loved ones, things like that, you're coming in contact with beings that are operating on a different dimensional bandwidth, and we are able to come in contact with that. And so, the development of your DNA and these abilities allow you to come in contact with these other realms, these other beings, to where you can have, this conscious contact. And why though? Why would we do that? Well, the more you come in contact, the more you use your abilities, the stronger they get. Your consciousness is very much like a muscle, right? And I always say that bodybuilders didn't get that big overnight. They're constantly flexing those muscles. Well, your etheric muscles are the same way. And the more that you're using this DNA potential, the more you're running frequency through it, the stronger it gets and the more it turns on.
It's absolutely amazing. It's so true because even, the spiritual path, the journey and all, it's not an easy one. You have to stick with it. It almost has a feeling of conceptualizing math sometimes when you're dealing with spirituality because of sacred geometry. When you get to the point of understanding that, which I'm not there yet, but I can tell our audience that the way we worked was Jerome took me through the process. He was fantastic. Leading it, took about an hour and a half for me, and it was wonderful. And when I was done with it, and we did some shadow work and some other things that I want you to talk about, Jerome, but my benefits have been, first of all, I was sleeping like crazy afterwards for about a week or so. But I found that, and I still find that, and this is about a month later, when I go to bed at night, when I go to sleep, I'm out. I go to sleep. That's it. I'll sleep like 8 hours straight. That's wonderful. Secondly, I'm starting to know stuff a lot faster. I'm a little bit intuitive, but I know, like I was on a Zoom call the other day and I saw somebody and I'm like, somebody's dead around them. And sure enough, they started talking about they just come from a funeral. And I would never come up with that stuff before. And now I do. And also had a really bad day the other day and I had like terrible dreams and I had really good day and then more and more good things happened. So it seems like everything's been heightened. And it's just up to me to kind of hold on to the steering wheel gently and guide myself. So it's like anything else you do, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jerome, it's like you don't just experience it, you have to live it then. You have to be it, you have to embody it to make things happen. And you have to continue to work it like a bodybuilder. You have to hit the racks and you have to push the weights and you have to do the work on yourself if you want to have your consciousness raised.
This is absolutely true. And so DNA activation isn't for the lighthearted, and it's also not for anyone that isn't ready for it. So when you begin awakening your consciousness, you're opening a door that can't be shut. It's like you're opening up a floodgate. Well, it's not going to stop. And so that's something that you need to be ready for. This whole process of DNA activation and stepping up into your highest potential, you're activating your heroic timeline. And this stuff takes work. It takes effort. It takes energy. Once you start doing it, it's like a never-ending, journey that you're embarking on. And it does heighten your senses. But you got to be ready for the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows because these are the potential of what can happen. But it's such a beautiful process. And as you awaken the DNA, different things happen. So you start remembering, past lives when you were different beings on different star systems. It's interesting. The soul. It reincarnates. Oh, every time that you die, your soul goes into a new body. You got a new set of contracts, and it's like the information is wiped clean, and you get like a fresh start. But that information that was there, which is your cellular memory, which is stored in the body, which makes up your Akashic records, that information that would be in the body, you can think of it when it's in the body. It's like the local drive of the computer. Every time that you reincarnate, it gets wiped. The soul goes into a new body, but that memory, it gets stored up in the cloud. Right. And it's connected to your DNA. And so when you start activating the DNA, depending on which strand, which goes to a different star system, depending on where you were incarnated, you start remembering that memory. So you start, like for me, when my DNA activated, I started remembering all my lifetimes in Atlantis, my lifetimes when I was in Arcturus, in Sirius, in Lyra. The information starts coming back. And when you start remembering who you were, you also start turning on those abilities. And so when the DNA activates, you very much turn on the psychic abilities that are in those strands, which are connected to those stargates. And so it can be jarring at first because it's like turning on a bunch of senses that you didn't have before, and it can sort of make life difficult, but can also make it beautiful because you start knowing things that you wouldn't necessarily know. When you're talking to somebody, you start seeing things about what they're talking about, or you know things before they happen, and that can sort of be jarring for people when you first
That's
begin your
true, man.
awakening.
I also found that in terms of dreaming, I've never had ever had such vivid dreams where it's completely lucid. I'm participating. It's as real as we are sitting here today, chatting with one another, and people who have passed come into the dream and are participants also, although it's more telepathic in terms of communication, but they're there and they're real and they're alive in the dream. And it's so vivid. And I've seen things in my dreams recently that like I couldn't even imagine them because I've never seen anything like what I've seen in the dreams in my day-to-day life. So I'm like, where did this come from? How could it be in a dream? I've never even seen it before. So I'm excited, and it's a journey. And thank you, Jerome, for everybody. And I think we should make note of what Jerome said. This is not for the willy-nilly. You don't want to just do this. This isn't a game. If you're serious about it, it's really good to do. But if you're just like, playing around, you don't play around with this type of stuff. And part of it is shadow work. So I want you to talk to us about shadow work because that doesn't have to be part of DNA activation only. It's not mutually exclusive to that, but it's an important part of our own personal evolution, but it is part of your process.
Yes. So shadow work is the most important process for any of this. And when we do the DNA activation, the shadow work we do in the first strand as we work through. And the reason is it is what initiates your journey. And so, as I was saying before, that we are quantum supercomputers. So the way it works is that your eyes are biological cameras and your DNA is the film. And every time that your heart beats, whatever you're looking at is being timestamped. Boom, boom. Boom, those images are being saved. And it's almost like the metadata in a photo, which are the emotions, those are saved as well. And so when it comes to shadow work, anything you've experienced from the ages of 1 through 15, 1 through 7 is your inner child, and then 8 through 15 is the adolescent. The reason why it's so important to do that shadow work and to heal that inner child in the adolescence is because from those ages, we are not emotionally mature or developed to process adult situations. And so, as a child, whenever you endure some of these situations, that trauma is sort of the it's like the chains that keep our consciousness locked in these lower dimensions. When we endure trauma, it is cutting us off from the higher realms. And so the shadow work is like taking the chains off of our consciousness. And I'll explain this in a way that people might understand better. In the movie Peter Pan is chasing his shadow, right? He's trying to get that shadow. He's doing everything he can. And eventually he gets that shadow to stick, right? He integrates that shadow. Once he does, he gets his happy thought and then off to Neverland. And so once you are able to reintegrate that shadow aspect of yourself, what you've endured, once that integrates, it opens your access to the higher realms. And so this shadow work is key to being able to access your higher dimensional nature. And so this is always where we start because you're not able to go up into the light ships to work with the ETs. You're not able to activate the higher parts of your consciousness until you've cleared up those and integrated that aspect of the shadow.
Jerome, you do such a wonderful job facilitating this, and your team also. But that's so important also because this is, for the everyday person, you need somebody to kind of guide you through it, and you have to participate. It's a consciousness thing. And even when we get to the starship in our next episode, I mean, it's not like you just, for me, it wasn't like, oh, boom, I'm on Star Trek. It's a consciousness piece of work. It's a little bit different than what I expected, yet I get it. And I think that's important also. So Jerome leads us through an activation of goes through all the DNA strands, all the shadow work. You kind of see and greet yourself at different ages, and it's a really positive process. So I got a lot out of it, and I would implore our listeners and viewers to like check out Jerome's work because there's so much to it. So, anything else you want to say about the DNA activation before we get your information out there, Jerome?
Yeah, so the DNA activation in my opinion, is the most important thing that you can do when it comes to your spiritual evolution. It is the fast track to your ascension process. You don't have to sit up on a mountain for 40 years and meditate to reach enlightenment. This is something that can happen in the course of, like you said, an hour and a half. You can gain more in an hour and a half than you can, in other areas because of the pathway, because of the way that this is done. And it's done through entrainment, right? By us matching frequency through this process, I quantumly entangle to you from my Merkaba to yours. And then when we're bringing these frequencies through, we're attuning your DNA to these stargates. And so this is a rapid ascension process. And it's something that, like I said, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for anybody that's just like, oh, I wonder what that's like. This is something that should be taken serious because, once certain doors you open, you'll never look at life the same once you elevate your consciousness. And so this is once again for people that are serious about their ascension path.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jerome. We'll see you again. Keep doing what you're doing. It's so fascinating, and you do it great.
Thank you so much for having me, Robert.
You got it.
The station that makes you feel good.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, that was a truly fascinating conversation with Jerome Martin III. As you may have ascertained, Jerome truly believes in the experiences he has had. He believes that he is in contact with Lightship, with Arcturians, Palladians, Sirians, Lyrians, and Andromedans. He is very sincere. He is very truthful in that this is what he believes his experience to be. The reason I say that in that way is that I don't want to force your hand in terms of what you think of it out there, audience. I want to make sure that you make your own determinations. I don't do any selling. I went through the DNA activation, my wife and I did, with Jerome about a month ago. I got a lot out of it. That's just me. I can't vouch for anybody else. My wife's experience was a little different than mine. I was tired for about a week, but I was sleeping like a baby. I still am. My dream state has been incredibly vivid. I'm seeing colors and sharpness and imagery that I've never seen before. Again, that's just me. I'm also participating in my dreams, like I was more of witnessing, and now I'm participating. That never happened before. And I'm feeling pretty good overall. I feel better now than I did a month ago. Is it the DNA activation, or is it the placebo effect? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, Jerome is a fascinating guy, and I think he has a really interesting story to tell. And I don't think he's the only one who's had these experiences. So what I ask my audience, I ask myself, I go into these situations with guests who have a very provocative perspective. I go in with a mindset of what if, quote unquote, we take it from there. And sometimes when we do that, really positive things can happen. Other times we say, not buying it. But I leave that to you. It's only been a month now. I think it's going to be more and more. I also went through the Lightship technology process with Jerome. We're going to get into that hopefully on the next episode that we have Jerome back on Guys Guys Radio. And I think you're going to find it fascinating because Jerome is very articulate and he's got a truly interesting and fascinating story to tell. And I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you'll come back to get to part two right here on Guys Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.